Hi, everyone. Hi, three-year retreatants. I'm so happy to not see you. So, thank you, Geshe Michael, for giving me this opportunity. I want, before I start to say anything, let's settle our minds. Put your shoulders above your hips, straight spine. Close your eyes, relax your tongue, mouth. Just watch your breath. Listen to all the sounds. Feel the tactile sensations. Become aware of your feelings. Become aware of smells, sounds, images, thoughts. Become aware where you are. Become aware of who you think you are right now. Become aware of every single movement of your mind. If there is resistance or tension or aversion or any feeling that constricts, restricts, just become aware of it. Allow it. Welcome it. Let it be in your house. You are a nice guest. Everybody's welcome to your holy mind. Every single sensation is welcome. I'm going to play some music for you, and you're going to become aware of where you're going with your life, with your mind, with your opportunity. What are the possibilities of being here right now, with your mind, with these people? What are the chances of having this in lifetimes? Just think a little bit about this and use this feeling to move your winds into a central channel, into your heart. Let's do the sashimi. I forgot that. Sashi puki yukshe metotam rira linchin yende kempari sange shindu mikte uwarki trolam dashina truparsho Iram Guru Radna Mandala Kam Niyatayami Sange Shudan Soki Chognam La Yanchu Bardu Dagni Kyapsuchi Daki Chinyen Kine Tsunam Ki Trola Penchir Sange Drupar Shuk Sange Shudan Soki Chanana Chanchu Bardu Dagni Kyapsuchi Daki Chinyen Gipe Sunam Ki Rola penchir sange drupar shok sange shudan soki chognam la yanchu bardu dagni kyapsuchi daki chinengi pesunam ki Drola penchir sange drupar sho. Wow, I'm already lungi. The energy here is so strong. I'm not kidding, you guys. I mean, I don't see you, but you're like a nuclear power soul body reactor. Wow, keep it on. I want to thank you guys inside. I wish I could see you. And you guys are so beautiful. You're very inspiring for me and for many I know. I feel very grateful that what you're doing and being part of this Sangha, and so many tears of gratitude I have felt this week, these days. I have no idea how we created this amazing, beautiful paradise. I mean, anybody has a pen? Okay, you all heard the pen story, right? Okay, I can't see you, but you know, where is this coming from? Where is the pen coming from? This direction or this direction? Can you show me? I want to see everyone. I want to see. I'm making a survey. Oh, it seems like everybody 100% say that it's coming from them. We all repeat this. I have repeated this to so many people, like, and yet I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's sad. I mean, you laugh about it, but... Like, yeah, we say things are coming from more kindness, and good things come from kindness to others, and bad things come from selfishness and hurting others. We say that, we repeat this, we know this by heart, we study it, but we don't see it directly. At least, if you are like me, which I have no way of telling, I mean... I don't know, you guys inside the retreat, probably you already see it directly, but I just know it by logic. We are running on, we're on a highway at night, and we don't see directly the road. We don't see directly this. Yet we repeat it. Oh, yeah, yeah, over there is the mountain. Over there is the tree. We don't even see it. We don't see it directly. And we're so happy telling about it. And why am I telling you this? Because we got to keep on going. Because it's not enough to know it by logic. It's a good start. And we also know it by authority. We know it because we trust our teacher or teachers. Like, if your car breaks down and then somebody comes and it looks like they're wearing like a mechanic suit. and then he opens he opens the hood and then he looks at it and he starts telling you all these words. Oh yeah, it looks like the transistor and the motor and the shaft and the rafter and whatever you want. and he starts telling you and you're like, okay, it seems like this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm gonna listen to what he's saying. I don't know. But then he changes something, then you go to his mechanic shop, Diamond Mountain, and he shows you like how your car works, or your iPhone if you want to call it, with programmed obsolescence. And then he starts telling you. And then you're like, okay, yeah, it makes sense, everything that you're telling me, right? And then he tells you, well, you should put some water and some oil and then all these things. And then you try, and then the car starts working better. And then you keep on going. And because we have no way of proving any of these teachings are. We don't see them. Even the pen, I just prove it to you. We don't see it directly. We have to trust. We have to work a good logic and then trust authority. Examine authority and then keep going. And then we increase our capacity of seeing things directly. But our starting point is where we are right now. Like, we have to be honest. Because it's okay. Well, see this picture? I don't know who's running the inside there. And we're at the first picture, right? Okay, so that's my mind. Yeah, and I just know by using logic, I see you all have eyes and mouths and hands, so I can assume that most of you have similar situation. That's my understanding before I met Geshe Michael. We're going to second slide. See, he's trying to reach. He's hanging by a tree and trying to reach an apple. That's our ignorance. It's like we're just doing things upside down. How do we know we're doing things upside down? How do we know we don't have correct perception? We don't even know because we can't see it directly also. So we have a problem. Because we don't see directly how this pen thing works. We don't see directly how we have a misperception. We don't see it. So we have to use logic again, right? We have to assume, what's the proof that we don't see correctly things? Pain, first area truth, the truth of suffering. Okay, so how, where? In your world, your life, you can see it. You've heard this many times. I told the pen thing to an uncle. He's like a very successful real estate, commercial real estate builder. And he got like mugged, robbed by some people. And he told me, are you telling me that I got robbed because it's my fault? And I'm like, well, let's put it this way. I don't know if it's your fault, because I wasn't there. But if it's in your world, it has to do something with you. Just think about it. If it's in your world, it must be related to you. Okay, next slide. Then something miraculously happened. I met a really cool guy. And he taught me really cool things. And he started telling me about the pen and how to plant seeds. She, Sampa, your Watartuk, you've all heard this. And then he told me about other concepts, you know, like licking honey on a razor blade. Like, what is this? Like, yeah. And time passes, like, things that we are supposed to know, but, like, the good things in this life, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, most of the times, are the ones that hurt us the most. And what can we do about it? We're bound, we're like slaved by these things. And some really cool bodhisattva said, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. And then also he gave me teachings about our condition. Next slide, sorry. We're at the... I forget you guys are not looking at it. We're at the, you know, the death slide. It's the second. Okay. And then we're going to the next slide. And then suddenly, like, the teachers, where it says exit samsara. And then you come here to Diamond Mountain, and then you analyze your condition. They tell you about your car. You see that it matches up what they're telling you with your reality. And then you keep, and then they tell you, hey, there's a way out. I mean, all these problems in your car, all these things that are not working in your mental software, guess what? It all has to do with the pen thing. Oh, really? Yeah. And guess what? There's a way out of it. Oh, really? Yeah. And there's a way to get out of it. You just have to like practice. And there's all these practices. And you're like, wow, I'll try it. And then it becomes like, I don't know, but this is personal, but for me, Dharma practice is like more like Cinco de Mayo battle. Just so you know, Cinco de Mayo, it's not Independence Day in Mexico. We celebrate. It's the government celebrates a battle that was in Cinco de Mayo, 1862. It was a battle against the French, and there were less Mexicans. They had less weapons and less technology, and they beat the French with courage and coordination. And they were courageous. So 5th of May is like, we're celebrating, like, the French are our mental afflictions. I'm sure Americans love this. Well, by the way, they were fighting, the French were fighting against the Mexican who were backed up by American money. And it actually was a war between American and French money that sold the weapons. Yeah, you know, the usual nonsense. But Cinco de Mayo is, I mean, we can win a battle against 84,000 mental afflictions. A year after, the French came again, and then they took over the government for a few years. But that battle was won, and so it's our minds. Like, one day we get rid of our mental afflictions, then we do really cool things, and we come here to Diamond Mountain, then again we go back again, and then the French take over again. My grandfather was French, eh? So I am allowed. And my teacher is American. And I happen to be Mexican. I mean, I didn't ask for it, but I just got lucky. Yeah. And this is a prayer for all the... I make a prayer that all the Mexicans and Latinos that live here in the States become dignified. First of all, because they're bilingual. How many people are bilingual here? Raise your hand. Okay, so you should all be bilingual. Why? Because it reaches more people. That's one thing. And when you see a Mexican, please dignify that. It just makes me really sad to see how, not you guys, but just treat them nice, you know? It's really, we all want to be happy. And there are people who are born out of Mexicans in this room, and they live great. I mean, they want to be happy and they want to live a better life. Give them a chance. It's illegal to help a human being. That's crazy. It's a crazy world. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so Geshe Michael asked me to speak today and tell about my experience coming to Diamond Mountain and then how I applied the teachings and taking these teachings to Mexico. I don't know how much time do I have? What time am I supposed to like end sort of-ish? Okay. So yeah, it's been a long journey and you see my shirt. You guys don't see it, but I'm wearing red. Happy Sechu. It says Tartuk on my shirt, on my red shirt. We're going on the next slide. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. We're on a Buddha, yellow slide. There's a Buddha. They're carved by the Huichol people. And that is, well, it's amazing. I mean, and when I say it's amazing, I even don't know what I'm talking about, and I just say it by logic. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is really a crazy world. It's a world of lunatics, demential, really crazy people, degenerate age. I'm not kidding. Just look around. And yet, inside all this dark alley and whirlpooling, contaminated world, there is like hope. There's heaven. There's an oasis that is spreading. And we're here. This is ground zero. This is ground zero of this oasis. And I just say this because I heard Geshe Michael say it. So I say it by authority. I say this because I've been working on my logic. Thank you, Ningpo. Please, Mercedes, tell Ningpo to thank you for the logic. And Ben Kramer also, please, thank you for the logic classes. I encourage everyone to study logic. It's very, if you don't see directly things, you have to use logic to see things. So it's a great tool. It's a great GPS tool. I encourage everyone to study the ACI courses. They really change your life. So among these, in this world we live in, we have it's amazing. And it's amazing that you guys are here and that you have a mind that is attracted to Dharma, that you have a mind that is attracted to virtue, and that you find the pen thing logical, that you find treating and serving others logical. If you are a person that thinks like this, you are a jewel. We are. I want to include myself because I tend not to do that. Like, I see all these people doing a great retreat and I'm jealous. And jealousy is not a good thing, but I'm so rejoicing and I wish I could have the level of practice that you guys have and the level of commitment. And you are very inspiring, very inspiring. And I wish I can be one of these person to other people. And I'm working on it, and I'm seeing the results also. I'm working outside the retreat, but I'm connected to you guys. And I'm waiting for you. And I'm already working on the schedule when you guys come out. And it's payback time. And I'm not joking. Just ask Keshe Michael. We're gonna squeeze you. There are so many thirsty souls in Mexico and all over the world. And what you guys have in your hearts is medicine that cures all disease. And I say that again by logic. I have to repeat this because then I don't want to fall in the delusion that I know things. And then that keeps me going. And then when I know something and it feels like real, and then when I repeat the pen thing and then I know where my mind is, then people listen because I'm being honest with my practice. If I have the delusion that I really understand that it's coming from me, then people feel it. And honesty towards where you are is very difficult, but it's easier. Really. I was very nervous to speak today. And then I was thinking, why am I nervous? And of course, yes, it's like my bad seeds, they're gonna come back at me there. It's like, you know, those wolves I created back when I lied or when I used my words wrongly, I'm sure they're waiting for me. And then I feel like a rabbit running from a coyote, you know. But then I became aware of this and then I took refuge and it feels great. And so when I saw Geshe Michael and Lama Christie in San Pancho, my mind was like you saw before. It's better now. Yeah, it is. Some days it gets like that, but. And then I came to Diamond Mountain, and then I received so many teachings from all of you, fellow students and teachers, I mean, and friends. You taught me a lot more in the format of friends than in the format of like lama, student, bowing down and all that thing. And like more like just hanging out, playing music. And you gave me so many teachings. And you guys, I don't know if you know it, but many of the teachings I received from my friends here, just talking on a normal conversation. Dharma is, everybody breathes Dharma here. I love Diamond Mountain because everybody here is professional Dharma practitioners. And they take it really to the edge. I mean, people here are really serious about becoming enlightened. This is no joke place. This is Diamond Mountain University. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. Really. I mean, we don't even see this, how cool it is. Geshe Michael tells us every single time how cool it is, and we're like, like we don't really analyze how precious our karma is, how holy, and how we can serve the world. So, what I learned a lot from people here is that People make a lot of offerings. See, you can see here, offerings. It's full of offerings. And I made offerings to them, and I made offerings to you. And this is a practice here that I see a lot in Diamond Mountain. And at the beginning, I was like, oh, people are so nice here. Like, and now I keep saying that. But then I understood why they were making offerings. There's another offering. And why are people making offerings? Why are we making offerings? Because we're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. And how are we creating our world? With seeds. Okay, so when I came here, I was like, oh, I gotta bring Geshe Michael to Mexico, man. This is amazing. So I decided to bribe him with an offering. I mean, there's a very fine line between bribing and making an offering. But I like to call it bribe your llama. It's just fun, but it's really an offering. So I made an offering, a translation of a holy text to Geshe Michael. And then after that, something happened and he asked me, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, Guadalajara. And he's like, oh, that sounds good. I think I want to go there. And then that's how it all started, with an offering. And it's going to keep going with offerings. And the more I make offerings, the more I think I'm alive because of offerings. And I don't think there's anything else that keeps us alive but offerings. Offerings to our Lama, offerings to the world, offerings to the needed people, offerings to the angels. Offerings keeps us alive. And offerings creates our paradise. So I brought Geshe Michael to Guadalajara. And the first time, of course, nobody knew Geshe Michael. No money. Nothing to work on. Like, basically, what am I going to do? No money. How do I do it? Offerings. So I started applying the seeds. How? You have to apply seeds creatively, however you can. I mean, you know the technique, but when you try to practice, it's a very different world. Like, and I was thinking, okay, so if a person listens to these teachings and then they awaken their unstoppable seeds, their seeds, because most of the people here have unstoppable seeds. And when you get close to a person who has unstoppable seeds, it triggers your unstoppable seeds. And that's what everybody in retreat is doing. They're working their unstoppable seeds, and they're triggering our unstoppable seeds. And that's what Geshe Michael goes all around the world with ACI, DCI, and all the organizations. It's triggering unstoppable seeds. Flower, and like putting water. So I thought, well, if people get their unstoppable seeds going on, then I'm planting a great seed to become enlightened. And then, so when somebody would call for information, I would go and have a coffee, and then I would buy the coffee for them. I would bribe them into going to the retreat. And then we got the first retreat. We got like, next slide, we're going. Okay, this is just bragging about Mexico. And next slide, DCI Mexico. I'm telling you how Diamond Cutter Institute was born. Next slide. This was the first open talk, and we did an amazing, we worked so hard just to get as much people as possible to listen to these holy teachings and holy Lama. Next slide. This is our first Diamond Core Institute level 1 in Chapala, and we got around, I don't know, 65 people, but like one day before, we had like 20 people. We were talking about canceling. And Mexicans like to do things the last minute. Next slide. This is DCI level 2 Mazamitla. As you can see, seeds grow. This time we had like 150 people. And after the first DCI retreat, Geshe Michael told me, okay, you're out of your surf shack and you're coming to live to Guadalajara and you're going to teach. And then I remember the New Jersey story. So I'm like, okay, I'll go. And then I was thinking, what am I going to teach? I told Geshe Michael, what am I? It's like, I'm going to go there, and I feel, and when I teach, it's like, I feel like a virgin talking to other virgins about orgasms. Yeah, but I was following what my lama told me, and it's funny, right? How that word triggers bliss. Yeah. It's good to laugh also. They say it's the sixth sense, the sense of humor. And so I started teaching. And at the beginning, we wouldn't do the sashi, puki, and all these Tibetan things. I would try to keep it very simple, and I tried to make it fun because we had a lot of young people. One of them is here, Ayrton. He came here, and I'm so happy he's here. And we've been 2.5 years. We're almost halfway through the ACI 18 courses. Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Tartuk. Next slide. Yeah, that talks by itself. Next slide. This is DCI level 3 in Mazamitla as well. And many people who repeat, right? So now we have a consistent Sangha in Mexico. Next slide. That's the open talk. We had 1,000 people. That was like amazing. 1,000 people meditating, 1,000 people listening to the benefits of meditation. Wow. I hope that seed ripens soon so I can meditate better. And next slide. On that, we had the idea of doing the DCI Awards. And so we gave an award to... The DCI Awards are given to people who have consistently served the world. And so among many organizations in Guadalajara, we chose Casa Huichol. And the woman here in this slide is called Rocío Echevarría. She's been working 30 years serving the Huichol people. And she has an organization called Casa Huichol, which has now become ACI and DCI Mexico Karmic Business Karmic Partner, where we plant the seeds. And it works perfectly because every month 80 people come and they get... the Huichol people didn't have Western diseases, but then Coca-Cola and all these things of Western just came there. And also the disease. So they have to come to Guadalajara, which is how many hours from you have to drive? 12 hours drive from the mountains. And they don't have any money. And they don't have social skills, or they don't know how to get around. And this organization gives them housing, basic medical costs, and also they teach them how to make a living. And now we're working on a solar project to teach them to become really good in solar. And in the future, people will know them as the solar experts, and that will dignify, and they will be able to make a living. And their culture is also based a lot in the sun, the moon, and the earth and the elements. Next slide. You can see those beautiful faces listening to Geshe Michael. See, when you see people crying and changing their lives, and then they go and teach, and then you know, then you get a taste, a direct taste of the pen thing, and you start increasing your awareness, your direct awareness of how karma works. And then your trust on your dharma practice grows, and then you can keep going, and you can fight the battle of the 84,000 mental afflictions. Next slide. We are also, there's a misspelling error, sorry. We like to have fun and do a lot of marketing materials. And in our events, we do t-shirts, and we're just promoting Dharma in all possible ways, trying to plant seeds in many ways: cups, books, meditation charts, t-shirts, yoga mats. Next slide. And this is a picture of me teaching in an ACI course. I think when I don't teach ACI course, my mind goes back to that first slide. And they say if you want to learn something good, teach it. Because when you teach, you see yourself and you're like, oh, I'm talking about this thing and I don't know anything about this thing. And then you can see your delusions, and then you want to practice better because you are more responsible. And then you don't want to have the karma of like teaching wrong dharma. And at the end, when we die, when we go, we only leave our example. Everything else goes away, and example stays. This is really hard lesson to practice, but it's so true. I see it in, like, when I don't practice well, like for me, practice is like a battle, you know, like being ethical. Yeah, it's like when I do diet, I'm doing a diet right now because I got a little fat, so I cut on like bread and cheese and sugars and all these cool things that I like. And I started doing like diet, you know, okay, I'm not gonna eat this week. Doesn't work. So I try a new approach, and I don't call it diet, I call it battle. And it works better because sometimes, I mean, in my side of my army, there are some killed people, but like sometimes they beat me because my discipline is not so strong, and sometimes I indulge in these things, but I know I'm fighting a battle. I know I'm in a battle, Cinco de Mayo. And it works for me better. And that's how I feel Dharma practice. Like being ethical, like not hurting others in my mind, that sometimes is really difficult. Like really difficult. And like just practicing the 10 non-virtues, and then the Bodhisattva vows, then the Tantric vows, it's just really difficult. And I see it like a battle. I go, and the enemy is inside. The enemy is inside. And it's a struggle. For me, I see like people here in retreat, they come out and they talk about, oh, like the birds and how beautiful Dharma practice. And their voices, they sound so subtle, and their heart is like distilling this nectar that goes around, and you can feel it, and it's like, oh man, I wish my practice was like that. Because when I practice Dharma, it feels more, I hear like shotguns and yeah, it's crazy. And then meditative concentration, also the same. Like sometimes I don't even get to two when I'm counting into my breath. Like, sometimes I don't even sit down. Like I find other more important things. And then wisdom, like not seeing people as self-existent every single day. Every single day, the enemy is coming inside my territory, my holy ground. And then seeing people ordinary, that's a battle I fight every day. Like not seeing how every single person is destined to help me become enlightened, that's a battle I fight every day. And I deduce logically that most of you are the same. So I'm just here trying to encourage you that we're Bodhisattva warriors. Next slide, please. This is our beautiful Sangha in Guadalajara. We go sometimes to the... We go to so many places. We go to drug rehab centers, nursery homes. We go to the hospitals and we give food to the people, to the family of the people who are deceased or who had accidents. And we're constantly doing campaigns. We're constantly going for battles of Dharma, planting good seeds to change your world. And it works. It's working. And then I was thinking, why are all these people like listening to my Dharma classes and to what I say? And I am, first of all, because they saw Geshe Michael and Geshe Michael told them to come to me. I'm like, okay, great. But then why do they keep coming? Because I'm battling every day in the practice. Why do they keep coming? So I'm trying to see past this. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe it's because I'm practicing. Because maybe it's because every day I'm practicing. It's not, it's a battle. It's not a perfect, like, these guys that they're distilling, like, heavenly fragrances. but it's daily. It's, I mean, we gotta learn to serve the world with our crippled heart, with our twisted mind. We gotta learn, we gotta start serving. And that's what Geshe Michael, he didn't tell me directly these words, but that's my deduction of what, why he told me to teach. He's like, just help others and that will change your karma. And I'm encouraging everyone to teach. Don't wait till you get enlightened because it's probably, that's, no, I mean, you'll get enlightened by helping others. How can you give others something you don't have? Well, that's why you need a lama. Next slide. See, this is our students. They're teaching already. And they're all motivated Dharma practitioners, Bodhisattva warriors. I'm amazed with the Sangha in Mexico. People in Mexico have great hearts. So the first ACI course I taught is one, but then I'm like, okay, I'll try some, I'll make an experiment. I'm going to 13. Yeah, some people, they're like, oh, come on, that's too much. And then I went back again to 3, and then I'm going like this. I'm not going linear on the ACI courses. And there's a reason why I'm doing this, because we tend to do everything linear in our world. And some of us are missing one piece. Some of us are missing the other piece, because we need the whole pieces of the engine, but everybody has different karma. So, and I see when I give them different pieces, then they want to fill in the gaps, because our mind always wants to fill in the gaps. So that's the strategy I'm using. And so far it's working because they've been coming for 2.5 years. Next slide. This is a drug rehab center for women. We go. Next slide. I had the honor to go with Geshe Michael to Argentina. It was beautiful, DCI. What Diamond Core Institute is doing in the world is amazing. And yeah, Geshe Michael told me this, Every time I hear teachings of Geshe Michael, I understand like a year and a half later. They kick in a year and a half. I mean, at the moment, I think I understand, but then 1 year later, I'm like, oh, really? Oh, okay. But it's really amazing what we're doing, and it's growing and it's growing. And just think about one person, you trigger their unstoppable seeds, their curiosity of how far can you get with these seeds things? How far can you get with the pen thing? When you trigger that direction, then it's beautiful. Next slide. This was in Guadalajara. When Geshe Michael goes to Guadalajara, I translate for him, and this is the cherry on the cake. It's amazing, and I encourage everyone, those of you who don't know Spanish, please learn Spanish. You can come, you can serve 1 billion people. It's great. And I mean, you guys are so trained inside there, out here. I'm so glad so many people didn't go to a retreat because they get to come and teach and help. There's amazing teachers outside and inside the retreat. And it's just too great. It's just a miracle. Just think about the impossibility of having this gathering. Next slide. Next slide. Mercy in Mexico. All happy. Next slide. I translated the diamond cutter into Spanish. This, yeah. It took me 4 months in the surf shack. So I was surfing and translating. It was the happiest days of my life, really. I'm really happy right now. Right now, this moment it's just top. Like, in lifetimes, just, I hope what I'm saying triggers your unstoppable seeds. And I pray for it to be true. And I'm sorry if I'm triggering something else. It's not my intention. Next slide. I also translated karmic management. Next slide. These are our Sangha helping with the old people. Next slide. We also translated Jesus in Tibet, and we are currently working on how yoga works and karma of love. We are in how yoga works 75% and karma of love 15 to 20%. We will finish by October when Geshe Michael comes into Mexico. Next slide. We did a new thing. We had like flamenco and theater and Geshe Michael, Jesus in Tibet, to bring all this. Well, in Mexico, we're mainly Christian Catholic. So we want to use this and trigger the unstoppable seeds of people who are attracted to the teachings of Jesus. And it was amazing. Next slide. We're also working on karma of love. And we did we're getting more professional with our events, and we working with media and TV and newspapers. One of our students made a beautiful movie about seeds, Las Semillas del Abuelo. Beautiful. Everybody cried when we saw it. They also did a yoga of Lady Niguma. Next slide. You go to where the yoga is, yoga of Lady Niguma. And then next slide, Geshe Michael in Guadalajara. That was the next slide, flamenco. Then next slide, that's where we held the last retreat. You heard it. Geshe Michael said it was the most amazing program ever. And how did we plant that seed? Because we wanted that program to be that. We consciously planted that seed, and that seed ripened. And so now we have a Diamond Core Institute success story to share with the world, among other small successes. But this one was a very conscious Shi Sampa Yorwa Tartuk success story. And basically, from the beginning, we started applying Diamond Core principles. What you want for yourself, do it for others. And we chose a very strong karmic object, which was Casa Huichol. And we got everybody. The ACGI courses were the foundation to get all the staff motivated. And we worked every single detail because we understood that people from all over the world were going to come. And it was like Lam Rim teachings. And I remember like in 21, the Pavonkas, 21? Okay, in 1921, Pavonkas, Rinpoche held the Lam Rim teachings and thousands of people came from nearby. But here we held those teachings and hundreds of people came from all over the world. And those hundreds of people are going to spread it to thousands, hundreds of thousands. And it's an amazing karma to have created this. 20 Chinese people, like 50 Americans, like people from Argentina, Israel, Hong Kong, Singapore, Germany, Colombia, Mexico, Canada. Oh, amazing. They all came to the retreat. It was really was an amazing. I wish everybody was there. Please come to the next one. Really, we had a, we brought a, the Hare Krishnas were cooking. Yeah, that was great. All the they were blessing the food every morning. Then we had a Mexican, the master of shamans. I'm gonna take 5 more minutes if it's okay. Like, okay, so I'll finish pretty soon. Okay, so we brought a Mexican shaman, master of shamans. We played soccer. We brought marimba, piñatas. Next slide. People took bodhisattva vows. In Guadalajara, we have 30 people who have taken refuge vows and 18 people who have taken bodhisattva vows. And that's unstoppable seeds. Next slide. That's Nimpo, his birthday party, piñatas. Next slide. You can see all the beautiful angels from all over the world enjoying the celebration of Dharma. Next slide. That's a Chinese woman singing beautiful songs to Geshe-la. Next slide. And that's my favorite bribe for Geshe Michael. Next slide. That's the group picture we took in Amatitan. Next slide. And we're also spreading the Dharma. We printed all the 18 ACI courses. And next slide, and we made a Tartuk Love Wisdom magazine. And with that, I'm going to end this talk. And thank you for letting me be here. And I wish I could seize this moment, Hakuna Matata, and make it something. I wish everyone here that you all get enlightened and that you use your lama to the full extent, use the teachings to the full extent, and use your sangha, fellow practitioners, to the full extent, because we have a great opportunity, and we don't know how long we're going to be here. Life is so fragile. Don't waste any minute. I waste a lot, but I'm saying that. I'm saying that so we work more on it. So thank you for listening to me. Thank you.